college football in the summertime, where every team is still undefeated. So go ahead, let the smack talk commence.
Bring it on, chump.
Set.
Let's go.
105.5 and 97.5 FM. We are the Roar, where every day is game day. We welcome you back in, everybody. It's the final hour of the program here on a Monday with Faxon and John on the Roar. And we remind you, we're checking in live from the Seneca office for Upcountry Fiber, folks. We're the pre-party to the party. And the party is coming within the hour. Suggest that you guys start to load up and get over here to 9 Boardwalk Plaza in Seneca, South Carolina. It's the Upcountry Fiber Summer Bash starting at noon. Why would you not come out? Free skins, hot dogs to the first 200 visitors. Pink Mama's ice cream truck, water, soda, and more. We've got t-shirts from you courtesy of the Roar. You can meet John and I if that's any additional incentive and see our ugly mugs here live in Seneca. But in all seriousness, folks, really suggest you come over here and check out the folks at with Upcountry Fiber in Seneca and participate in their customer appreciation celebration. They've done so much for the community within the last couple of years in dire times. They provide such quality service and customer services to the folks in the upstate. And to have this event to give back is a really special event here today, John. And you know what always gets me? I hear free. If I hear free and I hear Skins hot dogs, I get in the car and I park my butt wherever the hot dogs are taking me at that
absolutely.
Point.
Absolutely. You tell me there's Skins hot dogs, I'll be there.
Yeah, absolutely, for sure. So make sure you guys get out here to 9 Boardwalk Plaza in Seneca. All the great folks here at Upcountry Fiber in Seneca for the Upcountry Fiber Summer Bash starting at noon with a customer appreciation celebration with a bunch of goodies for you guys.
So I want to get into this Chris Sale stuff because this is more or less – I guess we're going to put out a bat signal here for Seminole Ted, because I do have something that for a Ted and Knowles fan, a quote from your starting quarterback that Pete Nakos was somehow able to drag out of him. We are going to get to that momentarily, because Faxon and I just had a very good three-minute laugh at the quote from Florida State starting quarterback. We will get to that here in just a little bit.
Oh, man.
What? We will get to it. So let's talk about Chris Sale.
Let's talk about Chris Sale.
What happened? What is the timeline? And then what do you think the Braves can and should do to help try to survive his absence?
I'm going to open this up to the audience as well at 654-ROAR. Would love for you guys to join the program and interact, especially on the Atlanta Braves discourse. And, yes, if you have not heard the news or if you have not, you know, been on social media as of late throughout the course of the weekend, maybe you were out at the lake with the family, whatever it may be, Chris Sale has multiple fractured ribs. He is going to be out for upwards of a month. He's currently on the 15-day IL. Again, broken ribs are a weird injury.
Is the 15-day, is that just so you can do x-rays and then make the official decision to put him on the 60?
I'm not sure what the official decision is going to look like. They backdated it and described it as a fractured left rib cage. So looking through the Atlanta media in the last couple of days, to be honest, I haven't seen a ton of clarity as far as what a timeline looks like. It feels like everybody's kind of in the dark here. And, you know, admittedly, we didn't have a ton of information headed into this because
right.
The insinuation that we were operating under headed to the weekend was that Fuentes was being called up as a spot starter to bump Sale and Schwellenbach back for the Mets series. That's not what happened, because Chris Sale has multiple broken ribs on that left side of his rib cage, and it was going all out on a play up 5 in the ninth inning against the Mets. And we all saw it. It was a great diving play. I think the most impressive part was that he threw 15 to 20 pitches after fracturing multiple ribs in his left rib cage and almost got out of that inning unscathed. But it just kind of is what it is right now for Atlanta. It's a rains, when it rains, it pours type of situation for the Braves. And for a team that hasn't caught a break all year, it's another bad break in a season of bad breaks for Atlanta, John. And that's just really the most unfortunate part of it.
Unfortunately, that is the case. But then again, the New York Mets are the opponent tonight for the next four, so I expect the Braves to win 3 out of 4 here, because when they see that blue and orange, they light up like a bunch of Georgia Bulldogs when they see the blue and orange of the Florida Gators. I think
Skip will love that one.
That was for you there, Skip.
Yeah, I will say, you know, seeing the Mets on the schedule provides me with confidence, but as far as long-term outlook looks, without Chris Sale in the picture and kind of with not a ton of clarity on what his status could be in the weeks to come, months to come, whatever it may be on that timeline, the Braves might be back and can make a run at this thing. Spiel from last week, that might have come to a screeching halt with losing your Cy Young caliber pitcher,
right,
John.
And I am also fascinated to see what it, does this change the approach of Alex Anthopoulos?
Yes.
Does this change his outlook on what he feels like this team can do, and then what he is going to do over the month of July as they try to, you know, get near the trade deadline and things like that. Let's hop to the phones, and we'll continue this conversation. Let's head over and let's talk to Gamecock James. James, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing fine. How are y'all doing?
We're doing well. Thank you for getting in this morning.
Yeah, I have a question about the Braves. I think, Paxton, you're not a big fan of Verdugo, are you?
I think he's the worst player on the roster. I don't know why he wasn't DFA'd 2 months ago. He's terrible. He's not a major leaguer.
Well, I'm with you on that. And I tell you, I don't understand Snicker. Why in the world does he continue to put him in there? He's not hitting. He has no defense. No speed. White has him beat in both of those categories. Why is
James,
he not starting White every game?
I'm not being facetious by saying this or anything along those lines. Like, I genuinely don't have a logical explanation that coincides with statistics, that coincides with the eye test, that coincides with, like, using your brain. I don't have rationale for why Brian Snicker continues to play Verdugo over Eli White, other than he is upwards of 70 years old and doesn't necessarily understand that a lefty can't just hit against a righty and a righty can't just hit against a lefty in the modern day baseball.
I mean,
like, we have data accessible to us, and it's like, we also have great Major League Baseball managers that have adapted with the times that are older and are from that previous generation of baseball with their beliefs. This is not a, like, when I compare.
Hello?
Hey, folks, this is Mike here in the Upcountry Fiber Studio here
at the
Orleans.
That Verdugo
like
should be playing instead
John
of Eli White.
And Faxon just for a minute. Of course, they are live at the Upcountry Fiber office in Seneca. And, James, if we still got you on the line there,
I'm still here.
All right. We'll try to work to get John and Faxon back on with us. Continue your thoughts about the Braves, as you were saying there. You guys were talking about Chris Sale, the injury, and then some of the players that you'd like to see maybe moved around on the Braves roster. Go ahead, James.
Okay.
Complete.
You talking to me?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a good move in keeping up Puentes. He can fill that role until he gets back, I think. That'll give us a chance to see how he does, too, you know.
Absolutely.
And like I say, the other thing I'd do is I'd put White in there every day. I mean, just, you know, you got to do something. And Verdugo's not hitting, you know.
I got you, James. Well, thanks so much for your call. I'm sorry we had the interruption there with the line. We'll work to get those guys back. Of course, we appreciate great Braves fans. Any other thoughts there, James?
Not really, but I worry about this team making the wild card. They're not consistent enough, and you got to have that, and they're just not doing it. And it's been that way all year. And like Walt says, you are who you are. And right now, at this point of the season, the Braves are who they are.
I got you.
I don't think they're going to get much better. And it's just really sad. It really is.
Well, thanks
so
much.
I do agree with sending Michael Harris down, too.
I got you.
Yeah.
I got you. I know a lot of folks believe in that sentiment. James, thanks for getting in with us today. We appreciate that. And, folks, we're working to get Faxon and John back here. You're listening to Faxon Sports right here on 105.5 The Roar. Of course, John and Faxon have been out with the great folks at Upcountry Fiber all day today. We got to hear earlier from Chris Townsend, the CEO, as well as Max Crawford and Brandon Smith in the last hour. If you didn't get to hear all of that great stuff from Upcountry Fiber, make sure you check out the podcast right here at theroarfm.com. You can always go back and listen to your favorite shows right here on the podcast. Just go to theroarfm.com, click on the podcast tab, and that's where you can follow up and catch up on all the stuff that you miss from time to time here on The Roar. Of course, we appreciate you listening live. We're going to take a quick break here and see if we can get Faxon and John reconnected. We appreciate you listening to us on 105.5 and 97.5 in Spartanburg. We'll be right back with more here on Faxon Sports in just a minute. Stay tuned.
Warm weather offers a great opportunity to get creative in your kitchen and your backyard as you're preparing meals for your family, friends, and neighbors. And nothing makes your creativity more enjoyable than the selection of ingredients you'll find at your neighborhood Ingles Market. From hand-cut steaks to seafood, locally grown fruits and vegetables from right here in the Carolinas. Whether it's breakfast, lunch, dinner, or a weekend cookout, rely on your local Ingles to have what you need. If you're on your way to the beach or the mountains, use your Ingles Advantage card to save on fuel purchases before you hit the road. Shop your Ingles Pharmacy to save on prescriptions. If you're having a family get-together or a reunion, have the Ingles Deli create a custom platter for you. The Ingles Floor Department has beautiful arrangements to accent your home and your table. So take it from me, you'll find everything you need at your local Ingles. Low prices, love the savings.
Experience the Davis Services difference where quality meets reliability. Family owned, serving the upstate and western North Carolina since 1972, Davis Services is your go-to for all HVAC, plumbing, and electrical needs. With decades of expertise, we ensure your home runs smoothly and efficiently, providing peace of mind for you and your family. Don't wait for problems to escalate. Call Davis Services today and let our skilled team handle it all. Call 864-432-1785 or visit our website, davisservicesinc.com today.
If you are a realtor in the upstate of South Carolina, I want to help you close more deals. And here's how I can do that. I'm Mike. I'm the owner of One Tom Plumber, and we are already working with realtors in your area doing the same exact thing. We're the go-to plumbing crew for realtors all across the state of South Carolina because we provide a free same-day quote based on your home inspection report.
Just dial the number one, then Tom Plumber. That's their name. That's their number.
Call the plumber whose name is his number one, Tom Plumber. One Tom Plumber.
Make living easy this summer with Craft Stove Store and Patio, America's best in outdoor furniture. Make sure your outdoor space has everything it needs to impress your guests this summer with everything Craft Stove Store and Patio can provide by Lloyd Flanders, Hanamint Summer Classics, and Palm Springs Rattan. You can special order anything you need for your patio, porch, and pool furniture with Craft Stove Store and Patio, located at 3002 Wade Hampton Boulevard in Taylor.
Craft Stove Store and Patio.
Hey Clemson family, I'm Jeff Scott, former assistant coach and proud member of two national championship teams. Success on the football field takes teamwork, vision, and a great game plan. I partnered with fellow Clemson alum Eric Newton to create Newton Scott & Associates. From Tigertown to Lake Kiwi, we're your championship team, here to help you buy, sell, or build. When it's time to make your next move, trust the winning team, Newton Scott & Associates. Real estate, the Clemson way. Visit us at newtonscottsc.com.
Guys, when was the last time you actually felt like you? Dragging through the day, zero drive, stuck with that gut? It might be low T. At Low Country Male, we make testosterone replacement simple and affordable. Plans start at just $200 a month. That includes your labs, medication, and doctor visits. More muscle, more energy, more confidence. Get back to the man you used to be, or better. Visit lowcountrymale.com. That's lowcountrymale.com.
Hey Tiger fans, I'm Morgan Coleman, proud Clemson soccer alum and upstate native. I may have hung up my cleats, but now spend my time assisting buyers and sellers in the Greenville, South Carolina area. My goal is to provide my clients peace of mind during one of the most important decisions of their life. It's important to have early conversations with a trusted realtor to help navigate the current market. If you are considering buying or selling, let's chat. Call me at 864-313-7639 or search Morgan Coleman Real Estate online to get started.
Every great team has its core players, but when the season gets tough, adding the right free agent can make all the difference. The same goes for business. At Robert Half, we found that 67% of companies surveyed plan to increase their use of contract talent to handle workload peaks and backlogged projects. With Robert Half's specialized recruiters experience, combined with our award-winning AI, you can quickly find the skilled candidates you want. At Robert Half, we know talent. Discover how we can help at roberthalf.com/talent.
Powered by Upcountry Fiber, we are 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Providing fiber internet, HDTV, and phone service, Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
The Upstate's home for the 18-time NL East champs, the Atlanta Braves.
Here's Michael Harris. Michael swings and hits one way up in the air. Deep right center field. Back to the wall it goes. Streaking out of the ballpark. It's a two-run home run by Michael Harris as the kid strikes again.
We are the Roar, where every day is game day.
We welcome you back in, everybody. Final hour of the program continues here on a Monday with Faxon and John on the Roar, joined now here at the Upcountry Fiber Seneca office by a very special guest in Riley Morningstar, the Blue Ridge Electric, communications manager. You're really a multifaceted weapon, Riley. You do a bunch of different things that we'll let you describe, but appreciative of having you here today for this interview.
It's great. Longtime listener. I guess first time on air. I've actually called into Qualk show at a past job, but really happy to have you guys here and in the crowd that's on the way.
Oh yeah, for sure. And obviously such a special event here today with the customer appreciation kickoff going on at noon, a bunch of free things. But as far as day-to-day goes with you and your role with Upcountry Fiber and Blue Ridge, walk us through what that looks like in your world.
Yeah, I'll be brief. It's odd. I actually started, I'll never forget this, 3 weeks before Hurricane Helene, so right after Labor Day. So I immediately got thrown into the fire in this role. And the biggest takeaway for me is I'd heard great things about Blue Ridge, heard great things about Upcountry, had heard Upcountry on y'all's station all the time.
Right.
And it's just that the people here, the culture, the buy-in, and the fact that whether you're calling the co-op or you're calling Upcountry Fiber, you're going to be talking to somebody that's in your community. It's not a call center. And they want to make sure that whatever the issue is, it's addressed. And seeing that during Helene when we all worked for really like 20 days straight, nonstop, getting power, getting fiber back on, it's the people that make the difference here.
Yeah, and that's been the overarching theme from who we visited today, whether it be Chris, the CEO, or down to guys like Max and Brandon that are a little bit more local with their roles. The word team continues to come out of everybody's mouth, and you know that feels like for me personally that that's been an emphasis for you guys, and everybody that we've interviewed thus far talks about the importance of the people, how it's a collaborative effort, and how it really takes everybody, especially at a time like when you were able to join this team with Hurricane Helene and so many in need.
It, you know, absolutely. And the thing that we kind of forget is 5 years ago, I mean, I went to Clemson 14 through 18. So that's kind of when my mind really starts paying attention to the growth here. And it kind of coincided with everything that Coach Swinney has done with the football program and just the buy-in. And 5 years ago during COVID, I had heard stories in a past job about people taking their children to sit in the parking lot of local libraries just so they could do their homework over the internet. So there was such a need for high-speed internet, whether it's work, school, and they since then have filled that need and continue to build that out. And again, it's local people that, you know, really care about it.
So we've talked with a lot of people today, and you know, wasn't even really planning on the drive up here this morning to even discuss Hurricane Helene, but that has been a very big part of what we've talked about here today. And you said you'd only been here with the company for 3 weeks. What was that process like, and was that as big of an eye-opening experience as to just like what Upcountry is and what Blue Ridge is? And like, I can't imagine being thrown to the fire any more than that.
It was, and I've told so many people, whether it's at Rotary or other speaking engagements, that it's a horrible event, and hopefully that never happens again. In our 85-year history, we hadn't had a storm like that. But in the strangest and most twisted way, it really allowed me to understand how this company worked and see, you know, bottom up what it takes to achieve getting people's power back on or the fiber side. It was incredible. And the one thing that I've kind of, just a statistical nugget, you know, you follow sports, you remember these, you know, whether it's ERA, y'all talking about baseball,
sure,
or whatever. But for Blue Ridge, we have over 7,400 miles of power line. And I kind of started just looking that up after, like, okay, how long is that really? Like, start thinking about it. So I've looked it up and I confirmed it this morning. From here on Google Maps to Anchorage, Alaska, it's about 4,500 miles.
Oh, wow.
So you take that and then about half of that, and then you're like, okay, that's Blue Ridge's system. And we had over 1,000 broken poles across our system. And, you know, fiber was dealing with the same issues because they're hooked onto our poles or in the ground. And it really contextualized everything for me, and getting thrown to the fire, just seeing how incredible, and again, everybody, every facet of this these two organizations are just, I wouldn't want to be anywhere else.
Yeah, hearing you say the numbers of that Anchorage and halfway back, that is insane.
It's crazy.
When you put it that way, to really wrap it around, you know, like the Michael Scott explained it to me, like I'm five. I think that was a great way of putting it.
I like that. That's great.
Yeah, as we're continuing to visit with Riley Morningstar. Riley, I've got to admit, my personal text line has gone off from a couple former colleagues in your world in the sports, and we'll get to that here in a second. But before we do get to that with you, Riley, talk a little bit about working with the people specifically here in the Upstate, because we've talked extensively with the CEO, Chris, about, you know, you can get these 1-800 guys and these national guys, and sometimes you're going through to a call center, or it's a robot, or it's AI. Something that stuck out to me throughout this entire process with the folks at Upcountry Fiber and Blue Ridge is that local flavor and that hometown feel and the Southern hospitality. It feels like this is real and authentic connections with real people 24/7 for you guys.
Nobody's going to big time you. And that's the, you know, Chris has been here since February, and he's just so genuine, coming from Tennessee. I heard him when he visited with you all, how much his family means to him.
Yeah.
And that's everybody. You know, we built out Anderson, Oconee, Pickens, Greenville, Spartanburg, and you know, we're still growing. So there's a mission, and they have the perfect people here to fill that. And again, like I said, I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. Again, you call, you're going to get real people. I don't know what y'all called Max. Was it Do It All Max? Or something?
Yeah, Do It All.
I'm not going to forget that one. That's going to be great. I totally agree with it. Max, Brandon, and just everybody around this office. They're, you know, great people, locals.
Well, if we had to brand you with a nickname or a cool title like that, what would you nominate yourself for?
I'm terrified. Hopefully nobody on the text line has said anything too bad.
No, we do have some text getting in on the personal text line that I want to bring up before we let you get out of here. Our guy Will Vandevoort says, tell Riley I said hello. Heck of a sports writer. We miss him in the Clemson beat. Obviously, you've got some experience in this world as well, where you've made a great impression on a ton of folks here in the Upstate and whatever your ventures have taken you to. So it's great that you've been able to see such great success thus far with the folks at Blue Ridge and do such a great job just kind of streamlining all of this, even at a difficult time where you kind of got thrown to the wolves.
Yeah, Will's a wonderful guy. Have a lot of fond memories of when I was an intern on that Clemson beat for about 2 or 3 years, then in local media, kind of dipping into high school sports. But yeah. Will's a great guy, and thank you. Really happy to be here, and hope a lot of people show up. Come and brave the heat for a little bit. You'll get lunch and some ice cream, so don't turn that down.
For sure. Well, Riley, tell us as an audience where we can check out all the great work you guys are doing with Upcountry Fiber and Blue Ridge.
Yeah, so obviously upcountryfiber.com. If you can, get on the socials, particularly with Blue Ridge. We've really, since January, taken a more active role on social because, you know, you can find out about power outages, obviously, when your power's off. But if we're going to give you updates, whether it's on social, text, really just tune in on those channels there and don't ever hesitate to call either of us.
Absolutely. That is Riley Morningstar, Blue Ridge Electric Communications Manager, with a lot of great connections in our world as well. Riley, it's good to finally meet face-to-face, and we appreciate you coming in, brother.
Thank you, guys. Love what you do.
Of course. Thanks, Riley. Yes, sir. That is Riley Morningstar. Great work, as always, and almost like he's got a little bit of experience in this field with how cool, calm, and collected
A little bit of a background.
Yeah, just a little bit of a background for sure. We're going to continue to talk some Braves baseball. We'll shift gears throughout the course of the program as well. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to check in on either the phone lines or the Adams Code Roofing text line. But, John, we remind you, we've got like 30 minutes here. I'm starving. I'm ready to get a Skins hot dog. We encourage you guys come out as well here at 9 Boardwalk Plaza in Seneca. It is the Upcountry Fiber Summer Bash. Customer Appreciation Celebration starts at noon. Get your butt in the car and get over here. There's no reason not to. You can get a T-shirt. You can meet great people. They've got water. They've got soda. We've talked about those Skins hot dogs. And then, of course, Pink Mama's ice cream truck as well to help subside some of that heat on a hot day here in the Upstate, John. So really excited to be out here. And great interviews from Chris, Max, Brandon, and Riley, the whole team, and just part of the team that makes the great work here at Upcountry Fiber possible. So very appreciative for these opportunities and chance to visit with some great folks in the industry, John. And,
absolutely.
And, again, I wasn't really joking about my hot dog comment either. I'll be treating myself.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. You better believe that we'll be having some Skins hot dogs before we leave the property. That's
absolutely.
Sure.
They always do great work over there. All right, John, let's before we disconnected, had some technical difficulties. Thanks to Mike V for helping us get back up and running and all the folks back at the Upcountry Fiber Studios, funnily enough, and easily. But we were talking about the Chris Sale injury and the impact that could have on the Atlanta Braves going forward. It feels like that's drastically changed the outlook of what this team might be, you know, in the near future, because you have this calling card of a strength that's kind of keeping you afloat, right?
Right.
And it's your pitching staff, and it's that upper echelon end of the pitching staff with Sale and with Schwellenbach being your 1-2 punch. Strider's getting his swagger back. Holmes is looking good. And then all of a sudden, the ace of that rotation that's pitching at a Cy Young level once again goes down with fractured ribs. Is it an overreaction to say that this changes the outlook of Atlanta's season? Because I feel like that might be accurate considering how close in proximity you are to the trade deadline, and now you're in a situation where do you want to make a move and buy even though you're down your ace and you might not win as many games in the short term? You don't really have a ton of assets to sell because of those contracts. What do the Braves even do at this point?
I think you need to play a few games to try to figure that out. I think you need to get on this little road trip here up at New York and see how the guys respond. And, you know, I think you'll find out over this next week with four games against the Mets and three against the Phillies, like, did that defeat the locker room? And if that did, okay, well, then that may answer your question in regards to selling. But I think if this team shows up at New York for a four-game stint and then at home against Philly this upcoming weekend, if they show they still have a lot of fight in this thing and it's just, hey, we're going to try to move forward, I think that there's still a path here for this team. I don't think that the season's completely over. I don't think that it's time to just throw in the towel and start thinking about free agency and what it's going to look like in 26. But, yeah, it does make the window smaller, certainly, in terms of trying to make the playoffs, get above 500 and all those things that, you know, Braves fans want to see this team accomplish over the course of the year. Yeah, it makes the job, you know, way more difficult, and this puts even more responsibility on the lineup.
Yeah, for
sure. Your best pitcher is down. Like, you don't have Reynaldo Lopez, still not back with this team, so now you have, I mean, who's the ace of the staff moving forward? Is it Spencer Strider? Is it Schwellenbach? Or is it Grant Holmes? Like, that's your combination of those three that you need to move forward with. To me, it's about the lineup. The lineup needs to carry some of the weight here. The starting rotation and the bullpen have been good for the Braves this season. They have carried them pretty darn far.
Yeah.
It's time for the lineup and these guys who are being very well compensated to put the team on their back and go get it done.
You can't have three of the worst qualified 10 players in baseball at the bottom of your lineup with Albies, Allen, and Michael Harris, which is what it is now.
And with two of the three being locked up under contract for the next several seasons.
Like, they're making $8-plus million a piece this year in Albies and Harris.
And
hit the ball.
Yeah, or swing at it even.
Yeah.
Try to do something with the ball. Step in front of it. I don't know what you get hit by 40 pitches a week. I don't know. Just got to do something to get on base.
Got to do something.
They're not doing that to get on base. So I don't know what the plan is moving forward. The Braves, like, I think you just need to take a few games here and see how guys respond.
Yeah.
Because I think you find out pretty quickly if the team believes in themselves.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're going to know tonight pretty quick up in New York, you know, whether you've got the goods or not. The Braves do have the advantageous pitching matchup tonight with their kind of pseudo-ace and Schwellenbach going against Paul Blackburn, who you were able to light up a couple weeks, last week. So we'll wrap back to Braves in the final segment if you're good with that, John. I kind of want to take this phone call from Wyatt, who's out in L.A., actually.
Let's do
it. Who wants to get in on some Cade and Heisman talk, if my understanding is correct. Wyatt, we appreciate the call, brother. How we doing?
Hey, Vax and John, it's good to hear you guys. How are y'all this morning?
Good to hear from you, man. We're doing well out here at a remote event with great folks at Upcountry Fiber, just having a great Monday.
Hey, we need some of that Southern hospitality when it comes to service, internet service out here, and we don't have a meet and three. This is out here in Los Angeles.
Meet and three is brutal.
It is. It is. And the best sweet tea that we have, I kid you not, is at McDonald's. We're okay, though. We're okay. Question for you guys. Being out here in L.A., I'm kind of out of the loop, unfortunately, when it comes to all things Clemson football. And I thought I'd give you guys a call because y'all are the gurus. One, I'm wanting to know what you guys think is the chance of Cade being a Heisman contender. And then, two, what we're looking like for this upcoming season. And I do apologize to the listeners that have heard this repeatedly. I've just been kind of out of the loop, and I'll take your answer off the air. Thanks, guys. God bless you. Have a wonderful week.
Yes, sir. God bless you as well. Wyatt, appreciate the phone call, especially from all the way out there in sunny Los Angeles. And, yeah, we'll give you a quick Clemson football rundown here in this segment. So, you know, obviously, John, we're both alum, and that goes with an inherent level of bias, but we do try and stay as objective as possible. Last year, neither of us were out here making crazy claims like Clemson's winning the national championship, right? I think the season kind of ended in the way that we anticipated. You contend for the ACC, you win it, you lose in the first round of the playoff. That felt like about how good the team was. That felt like a deserving end to the season for the quality of your football team. This year, the expectations are different, and this year there is much loftier expectations entering the season because you went back to the playoff for the first time in three, four seasons. You added another championship trophy and ring to your repertoire. Cade Klubnik is the ACC championship game MVP for the second time in three seasons. So that's going to come inherently with increased expectations when you get back to that stage. But then when you look across the country and you look at what everybody else lost but you kept, it's not hard to kind of decipher why Clemson is being widely regarded as a top five team in the country headed into this upcoming season. Now, it goes without saying that you have to earn that pedigree once you get on the gridiron, but the outlook right now is that Cade Klubnik is your 1A or your 1B favorite to win the Heisman Trophy, and Clemson is one of the 4 to 6 teams that has national championship aspirations in the preseason. Clearly, you have to go earn that, though.
You have to go earn that. I agree with everything you said about the team expectations. I am under the assumption, and maybe it's just because I've been around for a little while here, that the Heisman Trophy will be the one trophy that will elude Dabo Swinney for his career.
I agree.
I think if Dabo Swinney wanted a Heisman Trophy winner at Clemson, we would have already had one. I think you found the time in those seasons when you had quality backups behind Deshaun Watson and Trevor Lawrence, when you were beating Wake Forest 77-0, where Dabo's pulling the whole starters at halftime. If he wanted to have won a Heisman Trophy by now, in my opinion, I think he would have done so. Number four would have probably accomplished that feat.
Agreed.
I think Cade will be in the conversation. But I also think when you get to this part of the calendar every year, we have who are the finalists for the Heisman, who are the guys we think are going to be in the conversation, and are hardly or ever there in New York in December. A reminder that here in Clemson, just a couple seasons ago, DJ Uiagalelei led the nation with the best odds to win the Heisman Trophy.
Yeah.
I'm just going to leave it there.
Yeah. I mean,
respectfully,
a lot of these preseason Heisman lists, you know, are contingent on a multitude of factors. And, you know, you get people that get things right and wrong, and we get things right and wrong every day. It goes without saying. But,
certainly,
like, last year, you know, for example, to just take a player, not to single a player out, because I actually like his game. I think he's in a perfect fit in the NFL. One of your Heisman favorites was Jalen Milroe. And the narrative that was being spun throughout the course of the offseason that even I tentatively bought into was that DeBoer was going to be able to be this wizard and turn him into a great passing quarterback, and that Alabama was going to have this new generation of Alabama football under Kalen DeBoer. And they lost 4 games and missed the playoffs and crapped out in that bowl game to Michigan as an 18-point favorite.
Yep.
So, like, there are a lot of these preseason things that end up finishing off the mark. However, I will say this about Cade. Cade has earned that right to be in this conversation headed into this season. He's coming off one of the best statistical seasons in Clemson football history playing quarterback. 43 total touchdowns to 7 total turnovers. It wasn't all perfect. He played a pretty poor game against Georgia. I would make the argument that the freshman should have been starting in that game. That's water under the bridge because it's been a year, and now we have the right guys in place to put Cade in a position to succeed. But I guess my question to you is, like, after such an elite statistical season, looking at the schedule that we have in front of us,
right,
what does Cade Klubnik need to do from a statistics standpoint to get himself in that ring and to potentially just to New York? Because I'm not thinking about winning the trophy, to be completely candid. I just want him on the podium, and I want him in New York, and I want him on that stage, because at that point it's house money if you qualify,
right,
in my opinion.
Well, and you got to see who you're, you know, normally the player that comes out of nowhere, you know, you got to fight that, and obviously we don't know who that is at this point in time. From a statistical standpoint, oh, gosh, that's a great question.
Like,
I would think it would need to be flirting with, like, 4,000 yards passing, and I think it would need to be above 600 yards on the ground with a handful of touchdowns in there.
Yeah.
With also a
limiting the turnovers.
Yeah, so your touchdown interception ratio needs to be one of the best in the country.
Like, Cade was 36. Like, okay, let me frame it to you this way. Let's say, for, you know, sake of convenience, Klubnik replicates last season and marginally improves. And let's say he goes for 3.8K and 38 touchdowns, and we'll give him a couple more picks this year because the schedule's a little tougher. So we'll say 8 picks, all right? And then he adds 450 yards on the ground and 6 or 7 touchdowns again. If he replicates his statistical season from last year with a team that's a national contender, I believe that's enough to get him to New York. Now, I tend to agree with the fact that I don't think Clemson's ever going to have a Heisman Trophy winner, because Dabo is never going to leave in these guys to run up numbers at the end of games, as he shouldn't, because they could get hurt.
So let's think about it big picture here. How many reps have you seen Christopher Vezina get in a game?
A fair amount towards the back half.
But do you feel like you know anything about Christopher Vezina, the football player?
I've got no clue what it would look like if he starts. No.
Do you have any idea what Chris Denson is? Because I don't.
No, and we need to see those guys.
Exactly. That is the point. Because after this year is over, you have two freshmen that are going to be coming in here, but you need to figure out if you need to go shopping in the offseason.
Yeah.
Think about how many games you have to play. If the goal is to win a national title – How many games are you playing? You're playing 13 in the regular season with the conference championship game.
Yeah.
And then another, what, three or four, depending on how they seed the
playoff.
The playoff. I just don't see Coach Sweeney, based on the history that we have, that he is just going to keep guys in games in third and fourth quarters if you are blowing out a Boston College or you are running up the score against a Florida State or a Syracuse or who have you. Like, I just don't see a situation where he is going to try to stat pad.
Yeah.
Because there have been times in the past where I think you need to have more eyeball tests and statements in a 14 playoff than you did with a 12.
Yeah.
Listen, I think it's more about keeping everybody healthy and available in November and December than it is about, you know, trying to accumulate a trophy.
And to that point, like, Trevor Lawrence could have broken every single passing record in the history of college football in Bobby Dodd Stadium on that one day. And if you know the day I'm talking about, you
Hunter
know.
Renfro could have broken every passing record in the ACC that day in Atlanta.
I like your logic that Dabo's had ample opportunity to, like, rub people's nose in it and go get his guys' numbers. But at the end of the day, that's what this program is about. It's about winning. It's not about stats and individual accolades. You want to win as a team. And to further that point, I actually think Clemson has one of the most underrated, difficult schedules in the country this year, and I don't think a lot of these games are going to be blowouts, folks.
Who on this schedule do you really see Coach Sweeney wanting to rub their nose in it?
Maybe.
Dave Doran ain't on the schedule.
Maybe Florida State, and I mean, like, maybe, but Florida State's going to be improved, and you don't know if you're going to have the guaranteed chance to rub their nose in it.
Okay, I'm glad you said that, because that
transition
is the perfect segue to our final segment. I am glad you said that.
We're going to talk some Florida State storylines on the other side, and we'll keep talking Clemson and college football, because friend of the program, Thomas Castellanos, popped his mouth a little bit. And I will say this, I empathize with Thomas Castellanos. Pete Nakos did a bait job of the century to get this one out of him, as did the folks at On3, and I could not like it any more because of the storylines it's going to create entering week one, or actually week zero when this game will be played. So on the other side with Faxon and John, live from Upcountry Fiber in Seneca, we will run you through the new Florida State QB1 and what he had to say about his chances against Alabama and his confidence entering the game against Alabama for those Florida State Seminoles. Final segment here, live from Upcountry Fiber in Seneca on the Roar. We'll give you more information about their customer appreciation event. We'll talk Clemson football, Braves, and Thomas Castellanos' quotes right after a quick break.
When you're hiring, have you ever felt like you're missing out on meeting truly great candidates for your roles? It seems impossible to find them, but they have to be out there somewhere, right? Well, they're not hard to find when you know where to go, and that place is ZipRecruiter. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter helps 10 million people with their job search every day. And because these people are actively looking for jobs just like yours, it's easy to find the right person right away. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. But if you're not using ZipRecruiter, you're missing out. So see what it's like when the impossible is easy. When you go to ZipRecruiter.com/radio right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio. Never miss out on great candidates with ZipRecruiter.
Hey, 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 it's the Queen of Clean here at Royal Flush Toilet Rentals. Give us a call at 864-238-8800. We've got your portable toilet rentals, hand wash stations, luxury restroom toilet trailers, septic tank services, and holding tanks. So whenever you need to speak with the Queen of Clean, call Royal Flush at 864-238-8800.
Trust me, if they could do planes and trains, they would. In the meantime, Pendleton Tire Company does automobiles, trucks, and SUVs with trusted service on tires, lift kits, brakes, wheel alignments, and custom accessories for nearly 55 years. Pendleton Tire Company has taken care of generation after generation. Now it's your turn to discover why folks trust the team at Pendleton Tire Company. Open weekdays from 8 to 5, the Pendleton Tire Company on Mechanic Street in Pendleton. PendletonTire.com.
When you wake up well-rested on a great mattress, everything becomes clear.
I do have a favorite child.
Things you missed when you were tired finally reveal themselves.
I should have just said the baby was cute.
It's the actually really seriously best sale of the year for real at Mattress Firm. Get a king bed for a queen price. Save up to $700 on Sealy and get a free adjustable base, plus fast free delivery. The right mattress matters. We'll find yours. Restrictions apply. See store or mattressfirm.com for details.
Are you looking to take your lawn to the next level in 2025?
At Carolina Top Dressing, we are committed to serving the upstate and bringing golf course-type practices to your home, including aeration, top dressing, dethatching, and soil conditioning. Also, ask us about our latest top dressing amendment, Carolina Mix, or sign up for any of our turf services by visiting us at carolinatopdressing.com for your free quote. And as always, go Tigers!
Mark your calendars for the 16th Dabo Sweeney Ladies Clinic presented by The Roar. Join us on Saturday, July 19th at Little John Coliseum for a day filled with football, shopping, and fighting for a cure for breast cancer. Meet the 2025 Tiger players and staff and shop from over 45 amazing vendors. Registration is open until Friday, June 27th. All proceeds benefit breast cancer initiatives in South Carolina. Register at dabosallinteam.com. That's dabosallinteam.com.
Go Tigers. See y'all in July.
You're listening to Facts on Sports with Faxon and John. Now let's get back to the show.
It's the final segment of the program here on a Monday with Faxon and John. Before we hop back into the action, you need to go with Morgan Coleman for your real estate needs here in the Upstate. A proud Clemson women's soccer alum, a native of the Upstate of South Carolina, she provides her buyers and sellers with a peace of mind during one of their most important decisions of their lives. In the Greenville, South Carolina area, all throughout the Upstate, it's important to have early conversations with a trusted realtor to help navigate the current market. And if you are considering buying or selling, you need to go with Morgan Coleman, folks. 864-313-7639 or search Morgan Coleman Real Estate online to get started. We are live today, John, and it's the final segment. The show's flown by, in all honesty. At the Upcountry Fiber Studio, or the Upcountry Fiber offices in Seneca, we've got our Upcountry Fiber Studios back in Easley where Mike Vaughn's holding down the fort at Mission Control. But out here in Seneca, we've got great folks, and we've got a customer appreciation celebration event that is starting in 15 minutes. Encourage you guys to get out here to 9 Boardwalk Plaza in Seneca, South Carolina. You'll see the Roar van out front. They've got free Skins hot dogs for you. They've got water. They've got soda and more, including Pink Mama's ice cream truck. John, in 15 minutes, we'll be off the air, and we will be taking our talents to the Skins hot dogs truck to get some Skins hot dogs. We'll be getting some ice cream, some nice cold beverages. Really encourage you guys to check it out and meet all the great folks out here at Upcountry Fiber. There's no reason to not come out and be further entrenched in the community here today, John.
I absolutely couldn't agree with you more. It's been a great time being out here. Very thankful to the folks at Upcountry Fiber for having us out today. And looking forward to seeing a great turnout here this afternoon.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, final segment of the program here. John, you steer the ship, and you usually tell us where we go. I know what's coming here.
So
I'm just going to let you have the floor.
We're going to get into previewing the Atlanta Braves tonight against the New York Mets. A reminder, we will join the pregame show in progress at the conclusion of Road Rage with Walt Deptula with a 7:10 first pitch this evening. But On3 and Pete Nakos had a sit-down with new Florida State quarterback Thomas Castellanos, where he gave us the following quote. So he tells Pete Nakos he has dreamed of playing against Alabama. Quote, "They don't have Nick Saban to save them. I just don't see them stopping me." End quote. Thomas Castellanos starting now for last year's 2-10 Florida State Seminoles. Castellanos, who was benched at his previous school, Boston College, for Grayson James, is out here saying, "They don't have a Nick Saban to stop me." Well, I don't know. His former assistant stopped you when he benched you last year, so, I mean, maybe somebody can stop you out here. Why? Why in the world are you out here giving a quote like this about Alabama nationally when you are, and I, you know, historically, Florida State should be talking smack before a week one game against Alabama, but not after last year.
Yeah, not after last year.
That is a horrible look. And I know everybody last week was all over Diego Pavia for going on that Bussin' with the Boys podcast and calling everybody out and, you know, saying they're going to beat Bama again and everything. But guess what? Diego Pavia earned the right to talk smack when he beat Alabama in his house last year.
Yeah.
Who did Thomas Castellanos beat last year?
Besides
Florida State, who did he beat?
I was going to say the signature win was going to FSU, and then obviously, like, I got a couple things to acknowledge here. Okay, number one, I will say this. We visited with Castellanos on our program at ACC kickoff. He called it a shot against Florida State, and he won. That does feel worth acknowledging here. I understand they went 2-10, but they were a preseason top 10 in a very similar regard to what Alabama is currently valued. He called a shot last year, and he won. this is not a good decision by Castellanos to come out here and give them ammo, add fuel to the fire. I don't agree with the quote, but it does feel worth acknowledging that last year in this situation, you know, he did call a shot and he won against the top 10 team in Florida State. Now, with that being said,
this is a much different opponent than the Florida State team.
It is, and I would also like to see some more self-awareness, because I understand that he didn't directly contribute. Well, he did directly contribute to the 2-10 season by handing them a loss.
he ran all over them.
I understand that he didn't have a tie in going 2-10, so maybe he doesn't understand the perspective fully, but like optics-wise, you have to understand how that messaging is coming across when your program is coming off a 2-10 season, and for albeit that's the worst Alabama football season ever where they're ready to fire everyone, they still won 9 games and were a lot better than you were.
And what is the one thing that you gave this fan base? Fuel to the fire. Who is your new offensive coordinator, Thomas Castellanos? That would be Mr. War Eagle himself, Gus Malzahn.
It's the Gus bus, man.
Like, there was no reason... To say this, I mean, Pete Nakos, tip of the cap. I don't do that very often with him, but tip of the cap for getting that out of there. I just don't understand why in the world you would put out a quote like that. Listen, I know that it's late June. It's really hot out. We're all getting a little bit delirious. So we're going to say some silly things. We are really at that part of the calendar. We're all going to start saying silly things. But come on, man. What are you doing?
I don't understand why you would ever give bulletin board material to them.
You just made week one so much more difficult in a season. Texter 9383 gets in. Mike Norvell is in his office today shaking his head. Oh, I bet Mike Norvell is furious right now.
And also, like, I'm not trying to – I promise, like, this is not a shot at anybody, and you guys will understand what I'm trying to get at. You're a 5'10 quarterback. You're a running quarterback that subjects yourself to a lot of hits, which is part of why you...
You got benched because you couldn't throw the football.
Right. So, like, if you're going to be running around and playing this hectic style of offense, why on earth would you want to get those 6'4", 6'5", 250-pound linebackers and edges fired up and give them bulletin board material by saying you can't stop them? I don't necessarily get the logic from Castellanos. I'm going to give him his flowers because he deserves it. He called a shot last year in a very similar situation. They marched into Tallahassee, and they won. Alabama's not going 2-10 this year, and this isn't Mike Norvell, and this isn't Florida State.
Reminder, Texter, I didn't say, what did Thomas Castellanos say? Florida State quarterback Thomas Castellanos told Pete Nakos of On3 this morning about playing Alabama in week one. They don't have Nick Saban to save them. I don't see them stopping me.
Well, John,
end quote.
You know what's great about this is in about a month, I'm going to be up in Charlotte and have a contact with Thomas Castellanos, who we interviewed last year. Maybe we can just ask him about it in a month and see if he'll double down or maybe give us a little bit of a funny quote as well.
I wouldn't mind. And listen, if he's going to say ridiculous quotes in college shot, he is more than welcome to do it on these airwaves.
Texter gets in and says his cute eye black will be on point, though. Bet on. Y'all are funny, man. Y'all are definitely funny. I definitely think Castellanos is better than, like, pretty much all of our audience, but I think Florida State's going to win 7 or 8 this year. I don't think that they're going to be some power player. I'm not sure they're going to beat Bama. It does feel worth acknowledging that they won 13 a couple years back. I know they went 2-10, but I'm bouncing back to a little bit of a, you know, water finding its level somewhere in between this year. I think 7 or 8 wins is probably somewhere that's fair. I haven't checked what their Vegas win total is, so stand by on that. I actually want to see them. Curious, because we're approaching that part of the calendar,
I think,
John.
It's 7.5 with the under heavily juiced.
Okay, then that's
if I remember correctly.
So that seems like that seems probably around fair to say they're going to be in the 6-7-8-8 win range. I think they're going to make a bowl game for sure. I think Castellanos is a massive upgrade. Now he's going to be the benefactor of what his predecessor provided at that position, which was the worst play in the ACC at QB. But no, I feel decent that they can get to 7 wins this year. I'm not sure that means a whole lot in totality, and I don't think they're beating Alabama as of right now.
Well, right now they are a 13-point underdog to Alabama at home to open the season. Yes, Bama favored by 13 in their building.
I'll say this. I wouldn't want to play a running quarterback in week one. That's all I'll say. I'm not going to say that Florida State's going to win the game. We're not to that point of where I'll make projections. I did call the BC stuff last year, but that was the most obvious thing ever. If you're paying attention to Florida State skill position players, they all just sucked, and DJ's not a good player either.
Well, yeah, I mean, I know a lot of that was a DJ angle that we took here locally. I get that, but I'll run through the schedule really quick. They host Alabama to start, East Texas A&M and Kent State after that, so you should be 2-1 as you start conference play. You go to Virginia, which historically has not been the best place there.
That's not a gimme.
I think they're actually going to be much improved this year with Chandler Morris and Tony Elliott getting together. They've only been studying the same offenses for a decade plus. Then you host Miami. Okay, so you could have if you don't beat Virginia, you could be 2-3 after the first week of October.
Mm-hmm.
You beat Virginia, you're 3-2 because I don't think they beat Miami. They host Pitt. I think Pitt's a better team than them this year. You go to Stanford, but as we've seen, the travel is difficult. Host Wake Forest, should be able to take care of business there. You come to Clemson, best of luck. You host Virginia Tech, who at that point, I don't even know who's going to be coaching the Hokies.
Right.
You go to NC State, and then you close the season at Florida. I think like you're looking at 6-6 here.
I think, yeah.
Right now. But to me, it's about the start. It's about the month of September and that Miami game.
Yeah.
Because if your only wins are East Texas A&M and Kent State, then I'd believe once again, we saw this team quit on Mike Norvell a year ago.
Yeah.
A lot of those guys came back.
Well,
that is what worries me about this team, is because after Miami, we have seen Florida State seasons in years past, whether they win 10 games, win 2, anywhere in between. That Miami-Florida State game, when that thing is over, the loser of it usually kind of free falls a little bit.
Yeah.
You're playing that thing on October 4th? October 4th? And if Florida State loses that game, then you have to deal with the pesky Pitt Panthers?
Yeah.
Who are in year two of that offense?
I
think the biggest issue for me when I'm trying to project Florida State this year is where the Miami game is.
Right.
Because if you drop that one, then I could just see this team not care again and just collect paychecks, and we'll go out again next year. And that's why I just cannot believe that Thomas Castellanos came out this morning and said, Alabama doesn't have Nick Saban to come save them.
That's a ridiculous quote.
If you just think about it, take 10 steps back and think about who you are representing, what you are representing, and what they did last year.
Yeah.
Versus the brand that you were going up against. The biggest in the sport over the last 20 years. And you're just going to say that?
I think I have
lack of awareness.
I have different concerns and a little bit of a different perspective when it comes to Florida State. For what it's worth, I didn't necessarily view it as a benching last year. I think Castellanos quit. And I think that that's the more alarming part to me, is that they got 5-6 games into the season. So, O'Brien was trying to, like, square, you know.
Trying to ask him to throw the football and play the quarterback position.
He wanted to be – well, I side a little bit more with Castellanos
here. I'm sorry, the way that Bill O'Brien likes to do it with a pro-style system
He wants a traditional pocket passer, and that's just not what Castellanos is. So he uproots in the middle of the year. He decides that he's going to enter the portal. But for me, like, you talk about the quitting factor with Norvell, and you talk about how all these transfers aren't guaranteed to mesh on a year-to-year basis with what they're going to be able to provide, and you don't know what the culture looks like because you have this revolving door of players going in and out. I look at my leader and my quarterback as somebody that needs to be the mainstay. He needs to be the guy that is setting everybody straight. And listen, I understand what the opinions are locally. I think Jordan Travis might be the most underrated college football quarterback of the last decade. When you look at what he was able to accomplish and how much better he got, and also the leadership element and holding that locker room together, because the narratives were, this is never going to work for Florida State. They've got too many transfers. And you know what? In certain instances, that is correct. But when you have a strong leader like a Cam Ward or a Jordan Travis that comes in on a mission and unites the group early in the season, you see these teams have success more times than not. I don't think Thomas Castellanos is that guy, and I don't think he's the leader that they need, and that's really what my angle comes in with Florida State. It's not anything necessarily about the talent level on the team or the fact that they use the portal or Castellanos' ability. I think they upgraded at quarterback in a lot of positions, but in the only successes of the portal era with this heavy portal volatility, and people won't like it, but it's another name that was able to unite a group, Shadur, Cam Ward, and Jordan Travis are the three that have won 9-plus games from these portal teams. Those are the only three that have done it with the heavy portal ins and outs, the only three to win 9 or more games in a season. Ward won 10, would have been 11 if you played the whole bowl game. Travis won 13 and went to the playoff, and Shadur won 9, and they didn't win the bowl game, if I'm not mistaken there. So you need leadership, and you need a guy to unite and rally around at the quarterback position. I do not believe Thomas Castellanos to be that guy or that leader.
Nope.
And I think that was showcased last year with him kind of bailing on BC.
I completely agree with you. You have a quarterback with a history of taking his ball and going home, comparing that or mixing that with a roster that will take their ball and go home, and that will rapidly put Coach Norvell on the hot seat if all that does to occur. I think it is just a very, very bold risk to take.
To take
a guy who, I mean, he did. And when I look at Thomas Castellanos, I also
I like does the football fit.
Does he understand his lack of an NFL ceiling? And if so, is he strictly in Tallahassee to get one big payday? Because I'm sure the NIL checks at Boston College were not massive.
Yeah, I heard.
And if that is the case, then the quit factor thing, if things don't go their way, really post that Miami game, it's a fair question to ask.
He's getting six figures this year at Florida State.
He's probably getting seven.
Yeah.
Realistically, he's probably getting paid $1 million to play quarterback at Florida State this year.
Yeah. That's
more than he will ever make playing football anywhere else the rest of his career.
That's true.
But is that going to be something that motivates him and motivates this team, or is that going to be something where, I'm good, I got paid?
Yeah.
As we saw the whole Florida State team do a year ago.
For sure. John, we've only got 60 seconds before we get out of here, but we remind you folks that starting right now and people are starting to flood in with their hot dogs and more, we're at Upcountry Fiber here in Seneca. You can check us out at 9 Boardwalk Plaza, Seneca, South Carolina. The customer appreciation celebration starts right now. Skins hot dogs being provided to the first 200 visitors, water and soda on a hot day outside. You can come inside and get some AC. They've got tables set up. Great people over here, great community, and a really great event coming out with ice cream and more. John, it's been a pleasure here today to get to know the folks at Upcountry Fiber.
It's been a lot of fun. Thank you to Upcountry Fiber for having us out. I encourage everyone to get out here this afternoon for some Skins hot dogs and a great time.
John, before we get out of here, do the Braves get the job done tonight and bounce back and get a win? It's Spencer Schwellenbach against Paul Blackburn.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the Mets, so the Braves will win. It's just the other teams and the other professional franchises that give the Braves problems.
That is very true. Once again, get out here to 9 at Boardwalk Plaza in Seneca for the Upcountry Fiber Summer Bash Customer Appreciation Celebration starts right now, and appreciate all the folks here at Upcountry Fiber making this possible today. Qualk and Ben up next with Out of Bounds, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow at 9 a.m.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson. WAHT AM 1560, Cowpens. 97.5, Spartanburg. We are the Roar.